We're gonna get those guys out. That's their offering.
Te kuulate Ringjoon. Joon ringis.
Kallid Ringjoone kuulajad, mina olen teie saatejuht Liisi Tooming ja täna me räägime olukorrast Bulgaarias. Nimelt on seal ainuüksi selle aasta jooksul toimunud 3 valimist. Mis seal siis lähemalt toimub? Sellest räägib meile üks Bulgaaria poiss, kelle nimi on Petar Tsone. Hello, Peter!
Hello!
So, what's happening in Bulgaria? Why there are been 3 elections this year? How did it happen?
Sounds very easy to answer such a question, but of course with every such political deadlock and political crisis, there is a lot of angles to it and a lot of situations that need to be addressed. And in order to better understand the situation, I would go a little bit in the past, talk a little bit about the key players in Bulgarian politics recently, and the key developments that have happened. So essentially what has been happening in the last re-election, it's sort of a protest vote. It's not the first time that this is happening. Ever since the Communist Party fell in Bulgaria and the first re-elections were announced in 1990, there has always been this feeling of the next incoming messiah, so to say. There's always been a person who is coming in and has very big ideas and big proposals and basically wants to cure Bulgaria and solve all corruption and solve all the problems. Me included this time, it seems that every time people buy it, and of course you would buy it when you're not happy with your current situation and someone promises you change, you'll take it gladly with both hands. And the last sort of messiah figure that has appeared in Bulgarian politics is called Boyko Borisov. And he came onto the political scene around 17 years ago in 2004. He became the mayor of Sofia. And then he formed his own party, which he waited a few years. He waited until mayoral term to end. And he entered elections with his new party called GERB for the first time in 2009. And people describe this party as sort of a conservative populist party, but the general terms left, right, center, conservative, liberal in Bulgaria are very skewed because there's always this power struggle between the current, the incumbents, and the new ones who are coming in. So literally GERB came in with this new fresh vision. They were basically wanting to kick out the incumbents, which were, funnily enough, the Bulgarian Socialist Party. And that's funny because the Socialist Party has a long history, which dates basically back to the communist time. When the communist rule ended, the party just rebranded itself into the Socialist Party. All the members sort of tried to sweep all of their past under the rug, and they still managed to get quite a big turnout, and as I said, they were even rulers. They were in coalition with the third, I would say, major player in the last 15 years in Bulgarian politics, and that's the Movement for Freedom and Liberties. And essentially, it is described as a centrist party, but is essentially a party based on ethnic minority. It's the party that it's been, since its inception, headed by people from the Turkish minority. A large majority of the Turkish minority votes for that party. Essentially, they've been just swinging around the block and trying to be in power somehow. It seems like they're very much connected with a lot of corruption, so GERB wanted to kick that out. But in the 12 years since they were elected, they firstly in 2013 became the first party to be re-elected since the fall of the communists in Bulgaria, but then they couldn't form a government. The government of the Socialist Party failed. So in 2014, GERB were elected again, this time formed the government. In 2017, they were re-elected again. So one might say they are doing a great job, essentially. And throughout all this time, they've been swinging more towards the right, being a bit more conservative, aligning themselves with nationalist parties to sort of be able to form a government. But their policies and politics have not really been, cannot really be swung either to the left or to the right. They're just a bit out there. And people weren't really happy. They've constantly been protesting. noticed in Bulgaria about different things, but I think the thing that triggered everything last year was the corona crisis, because then people became very disgruntled with how the situation is being handled and how people basically couldn't get a living. And then, coincidentally enough, in the summer, a lot of materials began to emerge that prove corruption activities by the leading authorities. The people took to the streets, not for the first time in the past 30 years, not for the last time, I'm pretty sure, but these were very big protests, and to be honest, I was very skeptical about them, because we had seen them before. GERB had been taken down before by protests, and then just they had the same amount of votes in the next election as in the previous ones, as is nothing happened.
How many votes do they had usually, and in this first election in this year?
So, when they were elected in 2009, they got almost 40% of the vote. I'm just gonna speak in percentage because the absolute values are a bit skewed. But yeah, they got 40% of the votes in 2009, and then in 2013 they got 30%. Then in 2014, after the failed socialist government, they got 32%. That's about around their peak, I believe. Because I think 2017 they also got 32%. One third on average after their first government. But in the first election on the 4th of April 2021, after the protests, they got 25.8%. So essentially, they lost 20 seats in the parliament compared to the previous elections. But they still won the election by quite the large margin. And the party that came in, sort of after these protests, two blocs formed. It was essentially the parties of the establishment and the protest parties. Old enemies sort of fell into this parties of the establishment group. Essentially, everyone who had been in government in the past 10 years, GERB, the socialists, the movement for rights and freedom, fell into this one category. And then, and all the nationalistic parties that aligned themselves with GERB. And then there was this three new parties that emerged out of the protest. The first one has a really silly sounding name in English. It doesn't really translate well. It's There Is Such a People. In Bulgarian, it makes a bit more sense. Party was created by a famous television personality in Bulgaria who was the host of the most watched and talked about late night show in Bulgaria for the past 20 years. Essentially. But ever since the start of the protests, he had already cut down his broadcasting contract with the television company. He created his own television and he announced that he will create a party and run in the elections in April. Essentially, that party cannot really be described on the political term. They've mostly been described as populist because their main message is we're gonna get those guys out. That's their offering.
Those scared people.
Yeah, they wanted to get them out. And they said also as a policy they will not align themselves with any of the parties of the establishment, which later came back to bite them pretty hard. There Is Such a People was the second party in the April elections. In their first elections, they got 17.4% of the votes. So in third was the Socialist Party, fourth was the Movement for Rights and Freedoms, essentially parties of the establishment, and fifth and sixth came the other two protest parties. First one was a coalition, it was called Democratic Bulgaria, and I don't know how to put it, but their main message was, we're gonna get those people out.
Again?
Again. Same message, different people, different backgrounds. The person who was the face of this party was a former lawyer, who was initially a minister of justice in a former Borisov GERB parliament, but then people described him as breaking away from the establishment and forming his own party. And fifth one was has also a pretty silly name, but this one is also silly in Bulgarian, is Stand Up Mafia Get Out. I don't think I really need to explain their political agenda. It's essentially another anti-coalition party. This one also headed by a person who used to belong to the establishment. She was the former ombudsman of Bulgaria, but before that, she was one of the main figures in the Socialist Party, and it was very influential in it. People weren't really buying into her anti-establishment calls. Essentially, that was the situation. All these six parties got into the parliament, and I personally, when I saw the results, I immediately knew that a government will not be formed. Because the three parties of the protests essentially swore themselves that they will never align themselves with the establishment. The establishment itself was fractured between GERB and the socialists and Movement for Rights and Freedoms, which was essentially levitating towards whatever was stronger.
But didn't those three parties that were against the coalition, couldn't they form a coalition? The protest parties.
That's why I said that I knew there won't be a government, because the parliament has 240 seats. There is such a people got 51. Democratic Bulgaria got 27, and Stand Up Mafia Get Out got 14. So a little bit of quick maths leaves us with 92 seats. That's not enough to have a proper government. If they had gotten an agreement with the Socialist Party, they would have been able to form a government. But a lot of people at the time described that as basically political suicide, because those parties got their votes on the platform that they won't work with the establishment. And for them then to then immediately align with the establishment would have been catastrophic. It's happened before with a party. People, I've heard it being described as radical right and populist. It's called Ataka. And in the 2000s, they became very popular on that radical right message. But then they got elected into the parliament and made the foolish mistake to just align themselves with the establishment. And weirdly enough, with the Socialist Party, which was completely on the other end of the spectrum. So they got completely destroyed after that event. Not completely destroyed, but it was the beginning of their downfall. So these parties knew that they cannot afford to work with the establishment. So essentially, there needed to be new elections. Because in Bulgaria, after the election, the first three parties get awarded a mandate to form the government by the president. I've talked about this with friends. I've heard them say, oh, how much time does each party have? Because, for example, in the Netherlands, it takes months and months and months of coalition talks for there to be a government. No, in Bulgaria, each party gets 7 days.
Only seven.
You have 7 days. If you don't come up with a government in 7 days, you have to return the mandate to the president. So GERB, there is such a people, and the Socialist Party just returned the mandate. Some of them immediately. There is such a people returned it immediately.
But what happened afterwards at the second elections?
So essentially, like a key thing that happened is that the president got to select the new caretaker government, which is in Bulgaria. We can choose our own president. The people vote for it. We usually joke that it's a really useless role, but in this year it really showed its worth, because the president had the power to put anyone in ministerial positions. And that's what he did. Essentially, slowly, a crackdown began to start on GERB people. Allegedly, there is sort of this apparatus that they have built. That's what people at least talk about in Bulgaria. That in a lot of important governmental and sort of civil servant positions, GERB have employed people who are close to them. And these people know that if GERB is not in power, they're probably going to lose their job. And that's why how some people explain GERB's sustained electorate. But I don't think that's the only reason. But essentially, a lot of people were in positions of power just because of their closeness to the party. And caretaker ministers appointed by the president and different commissions started to crack down on that. And on corruption in different deals. So essentially the president, who was elected in 2016, on largely the platform of the Socialist Party, became a more and more influential figure as the year wore on. But we'll get to that when it's time for it. So in came the summer, second elections. A lot of people were very much concerned that it's on the 11th of July, on a Sunday, when most people are just on their holiday, they will not really be bothered to vote. And that was shown because the turnout was considerably lower than on the first elections. But still, the same six parties, as before, made it into the parliament. So no one really gained or lost anything substantial in the first elections.
So the results were practically the same?
Not entirely. Two major differences came up.
What were the differences?
There was a new winner. First time in three previous elections, GERB didn't win. There is such a people won. To me personally, the reason for that was why they had a more massive, not more massive, but just a bigger electorate than the other two protest parties is that they were essentially starting on a clean slate. And that's what the people wanted. They wanted fresh faces, new faces who have not been involved previously with the establishment. And that party provided that. And it was also a very famous face because outside of a TV personality, the leader of that party is also a singer, a musician, a very famous one, dear to the hearts of a lot of people. And they essentially won the election by the slimmest margin possible. Not the slimmest margin possible, but it was 0.5% in there. They won by 0.5%. And GERB were second still, so there's such a people got 23.7 and GERB got 23.2. So essentially they lost a little bit again, but they still had a very strong core of around a quarter of the voters. The Socialist Party came third again, without really that being a surprise. But a surprise result, that second surprise, was that Democratic Bulgaria took over as the fourth power. And they essentially kicked down the Party of the Establishment movement, the Movement for Rights and Freedoms, down to fifth power. Stand Up Mafia Get Out also made it in again. Barely, as in the first elections, but they made it in. You might think that now with additional support and more voters, the protest parties were able to do anything. Because now, quick maths again, they had almost 120, but not entirely. They had 112. They were very short from the mark. So they needed help again. This time they realized that if they don't act now, they will lose the trust of the people. Because protest votes are usually very snap. You go in there and you vote for someone to change things. If they don't change things, then you don't vote for them again. And essentially, these parties got a second chance from everyone. This time, there is such a people took the mandate from the president and entered talks with the other two parties. And I believe with the Socialist Party as well, but I'm not entirely sure. But then came the problems. Initially, there is such a people proposed the prime minister. They didn't really propose him. There were rumors that that would be the person, and it was confirmed by the leader of Democratic Bulgaria. But that person was very controversial because of previous alleged corruption involvement. And people weren't happy, so he was very quickly scrapped. And the party insisted that he was never even in the books. But their supposed coalition partners said he was. So things like that, and other disagreements around policy, who and how he's gonna govern, essentially led to a fallout in the talks in this incredibly small 7 days period. When it ended, nothing happened again. Surprisingly, neither GERB nor the Socialist Party were able to really do anything. I also don't think they really wanted to do anything. They knew they were with their backs against the wall. Interestingly enough, in these elections, there was a party who went a bit under the radar. It's called Revival. It got 3% of the vote. Benchmark to make it into the parliament is 4%. They got 3%, which was an increase substantial on the previous election. And a lot of those votes came from outside of Bulgaria. But interestingly enough...
So outside of Bulgaria, you mean people from Bulgaria who live abroad?
They run an anti-European platform. They essentially run a nationalist pro-Russian platform. They want to govern by themselves, which to me sounds overly ambitious, and they have a very strong stance on questions such as the North Macedonia and to which country it should belong to. A lot of people find them controversial, and later on in the year they became even more controversial. Essentially, by the end of the summer, it was known that there won't be a new government and new elections were needed. Again, the president again appointed caretaker ministers who continued with the crackdowns, but even harder now.
Were they the same people or they were new people?
Some of them were the same, some of them were different. Two key people didn't keep their caretaker posts, and that was for a very specific reason. Two caretaker ministers in the government between April and July, in September after the failure to form a new government again, announced a new political project, which was called We Are Continuing the Change. What they might want to do everyone wondered. Initially, they announced that they won't run following elections because they don't have time. But miraculously, they aligned with some parties that were already registered and they were able to run in the new elections. And they were mainly seen as people of the president because he appointed them as caretaker ministers. And it was essentially seen as the final act of the president breaking away from his old socialist platform and leaning towards establishing his a political project around him.
So the caretakers, they weren't in a party?
No, the caretakers are usually outside experts. Experts in finances, experts in health, experts in the judicial system. They are not really aligned to any party and that's their idea. They run the government temporarily but unbiased. Let's say, theory.
It kind of sounds funny because they probably have more knowledge in what they need to do than the politicians that are chosen to be there.
Essentially, yes. But usually, as ministers, the people that are appointed as ministers have some expertise. They're usually, a lot of the times, they don't need to be MPs. The party can provide a project with different people. But we had funny situations in the former GERB government. Initially, the health minister at the start of the COVID crisis stepped down from his position after a few months. And then after a few more months, he became the Minister of Finances. I asked a lot of questions why no one really could answer. That expertise topic is completely different. Essentially, there was a new player on the horizon emerging. Another thing that happened, though, was that one of the two people, namely Kirill Petkov, who was part of the new project, got embroiled in a scandal.
What scandal?
When he was appointed as caretaker minister, he still had Canadian dual citizenship, which, according to the constitution of Bulgaria, is unconstitutional. This became a pretty big talking point, because essentially everyone was blaming the president, bar the Socialist Party, because they still have some connections, blaming the president that he knowingly acted unconstitutionally. Kirill Petkov argued that he had already applied and put in the documents when he got the invites, but those legal proceedings take some time. So by the time he finished his term as caretaker minister, he wasn't a Canadian citizen anymore. It was found that when he started, he was in breach of the constitution. But as we will see, not a lot of people paid attention to it. And then COVID crisis started heating up again. The president announced 2-in-1 elections in November 2021, 1.5 weeks ago, because his term was coming to an end. It was very crucial. He became prominent in a very important year, his last year of the term. So on the 14th of November, Bulgarians were choosing not only a parliament for the third time, but a president, which, as we saw in the last year, became very important. But around the COVID crisis, some parties started making wrong moves. For example, There Is Such a People made a few statements that they won't accept the introduction of mandatory COVID passes because the vaccines are not proven and they're still in a test period, and that got them a lot of heat from a lot of people, especially outside of Bulgaria. I saw some headlines as the ruling party of Bulgaria is anti-vax, which they weren't ruling to begin with, but that doesn't matter. And then the party I just mentioned, Revival, started to employ mass anti-vaccination propaganda. Because, as some of you might know, Bulgaria is the country with the lowest percentage of fully vaccinated people in the EU. A lot of people are against it for one reason or another. And they started to essentially say they are against all COVID measures, which to me is just insane and it blows my mind, but I try to stay unbiased. And they started to get even more popular. Funnily enough, there's some evidence on the internet of the leader of that party posting a comment in July 2021 that he hates all the idiots that endanger Bulgaria, and in that he included people who did not want to vaccinate. In 2 months, he changed his opinion extremely quickly. But in the end, we got to November, and the predictions were that GERB are going to win again. They were for massive fall in the electorates of Stand Out, Mafia Out, There Is Such a People, and Democratic Bulgaria. All those three parties were predicted to basically lose half their votes. And the new political project, We Are Continuing the Change, was predicted to be the second party. But extremely surprisingly, when I looked in the different predictions, the most the sociological service gave them was 17%. They ended up with 25.6, way over what was predicted, and 3% over GERB, which is the most any party has gotten over them in the past 15 years.
So they were the first party in these
yes,
elections.
Yes, they won again out of thin air. They just materialized. They employed a very interesting tactic. They really wanted to stay neutral. They never mentioned names of parties and of people that they were fighting against. They never explicitly said, we want to get the old establishment out. They always said, we want to continue the change, and we want to have a government and unite the Bulgarian people. Very ambiguous, very all over the place, one might say. But they had interesting policies, and they were interested in modernizing the country. One thing that just came to mind was introducing an e-health system, which for Bulgaria, it's completely alien. A few years ago, there was near hysterical reactions when it was announced that every person who is admitted to hospital has to give their fingerprints. They want to continue the change and move along, essentially. So I think that's why a lot of people believed in them and didn't believe in the parties that failed, essentially. As I said, they realized that if they don't form a government in the summer, they will fail. And so they did. All of them got under 10% of the votes, the protest parties.
Okay.
With Stand Up Mafia Out not even getting any seats at all. They didn't even make it over the 4% benchmark. So essentially, yeah, the new project won. GERB was second. Crucially and interestingly enough, the movement for rights and freedoms made it to third political power with 13%. They got 5 more seats than in the previous elections. The Socialist Party dramatically fell from, not that dramatically, but they fell from third with 13 to fourth with 10. There Is Such a People got 9.5, Democratic Bulgaria got 6.3, and crucially, Revival entered the parliament for the first time with 4.8%. So one of the protest parties was completely out of the picture now. Democratic Bulgaria lost its influential leader that formed the party in the coalition. He resigned after the failure. And the leader of the Socialist Party also resigned after the failure, in quotation marks. But there seems to be hope, because the new project, We Are Continuing the Change, entered talks just this week on Monday with the Socialist Party, There Is Such a People, and Democratic Bulgaria. And altogether, these parties would have around 140 seats. So if all four join forces, they will be able to form a government. And there's already statements by the leaders of There Is Such a People and Democratic Bulgaria that they are willing now to engage in talks with the Socialist Party. But talks are still in their infancy, but they soon have to mature because they don't have a lot of time left. But a crucial thing that We Are Continuing the Change is doing is that they're broadcasting all these talks live on YouTube, Facebook, every day, throughout the whole day for everyone to see, which is a main point of why the previous government formation failed, because everyone was pointing fingers and saying different things, and no one knew what the truth was. So it's a welcome change towards more clarity in the political process. But essentially, that's how it happened so far. I am only 50% optimistic for what is going to happen.
So you think that there might be new elections soon?
I would never put it past the parties not agreeing on some stupid policies. And if they, the four of them, don't form a government, there is no other possible coalition formation. Another thing that came out, though, just a few days ago, is that the president got re-elected. And eventually, on the second run, he was up against the rector of the Sofia University, who very controversially aligned himself with GERB. But the current president won by a decisive margin. So if there is a government formed by a project aligned with him, some people have expressed worries of possible transition to a presidential republic, which I find laughable for now. But yeah, it's essentially the president has, his name is Rumen Radev, essentially has a pretty strong grip on the electorate right now.
Is he doing a good job?
No one really knows, because so far he's just been running anti-corruption policies and trying to crack down on the previous, some people call it the GERB octopus, that's just spread around all government. Some time needs to pass, and essentially we need to find out if there will be a government or not, because that's very crucial in my opinion.
Let's talk about elections, how the process goes. Like, we had to go to Finland to vote, and we're staying in Latvia right now. Why did it happen?
So a major thing in the Bulgarian electoral system is that the only way to vote is to be physically present, which means no postal voting, no electronic voting. You have to go on to a section and cast your vote there. Now, since the start of the COVID crisis, there has been an exception made that if you are quarantined due to sickness or traveling or something else, people will come to your house for you to cast your vote, essentially. But funnily enough, you need to send a declaration for that on the Wednesday before the election. Oh yeah, you can only vote on one day, on Sunday. You can request to do that only on the Wednesday before the Sunday. So essentially, if you get sick on a Friday, you can vote. But I don't think anyone thought of that. And the sections cannot be opened anywhere in the world, of course, because there needs to be organization, ballots needs to be shipped. So people need to fill out electronic forms indicating where they want to vote. And then if there is a diplomatic mission in that place, no matter the amount of people who requested to vote, they will be open the polling section. But otherwise, there needs to be a minimum of 40 people. And as surprisingly for me, Bulgaria has zero embassies in the Baltic countries. Zero in Lithuania, zero in Latvia, and zero in Estonia. There wasn't a section in any of the three countries because there were 10 people requesting to vote in Riga, two in Vilnius, and zero anywhere in Estonia. So the two options I had were Warsaw or Helsinki, essentially. That is becoming a pretty major thing because there is a thing in Bulgaria we call election tourism. Election tourism essentially is people traveling to Bulgaria only to vote and then going away. But this has been done by a very specific subset of Bulgarian citizens, not residents, citizens, those of Turkish background, essentially. This is due to a pretty short-sighted policy of the communist countries in the 80s, which forced all ethnically Turkish people to abandon their names, rename as Bulgarians, and if they didn't like it, they were given the option to leave.
So, but they still kept citizenship.
Yes. After the fall of the communists, they could still keep the citizenship and have a Bulgarian EU passport. The mayor of Çorlu, which is a pretty big city in Turkey, is actually from the region where I'm from, but he moved because of these processes and now he's the mayor, which shows that there is a quite substantial Bulgarian community there, because I suppose they would vote for them, but I'm not that into that matter. Essentially, hundreds of thousands of people travel in the days leading up to the elections back to the addresses they're registered at, mostly in one specific region called Kırcalı, where actually 60, like two-thirds of the current residents are of Turkish ethnicity, and a lot more come back for the elections. And due to COVID-19, this was pretty restricted because of different traveling restrictions. And there was a law that prohibited opening more than 35 sections outside of EU countries. That law was dropped for the elections in July. The most sections opened by Bulgaria are in Turkey, and en masse these people vote for one party only. There was even some alleged scandals between the second round of the president elections, because Turkish branches of the Movement for Rights and Freedoms allegedly campaigned for one of the candidates. that caused a little bit of diplomatic friction between Bulgaria and Turkey, and even some protests. But essentially, there are quite a lot of people outside of Bulgaria who vote, and this vote can really skew the results.
But what do the Turkish people who come to Bulgaria for one day, what do they gain from it? Like, why do they go voting if they don't even live in Bulgaria and they don't plan to go back?
This is very complicated. I think one of it is just sort of slight bitterness for everything that's happened, because a lot of them still say they love the country and they are born there. I've heard stories of Turkish people who have moved from Bulgaria to Turkey, and they never really fit in, because in Bulgaria the Turks speak a specific dialect, a lot influenced by the Bulgarian language. So initially, even when they move to Turkey, they can't really connect with the proper Turkish people. So they're kind of left as outsiders in Turkey. They form big communities, but they're not that integrated into society. And they're also outcasts from Bulgaria. They feel like outcasts because of the previous process, political processes in Bulgaria. And a lot of people are also, just bluntly gonna say, quite racist towards them, because Bulgaria and Turkey have a long history of pretty bad treatment between one another. But I believe they come back and vote because they can't really settle in Turkey properly. The only way they see of coming back and being welcomed in Bulgaria is to have a strong party that's representing them and caring for their interests. And also, to me, that's the logical explanation about it. I have some friends of Turkish descent, and they're young, like me. They don't really vote for the party, so I can't speak from first-person view. But I think that's the more ideological reason. Others suggest that some financial stimuli might be involved, but that's very alleged. Around every election that happens in Bulgaria, there is always, in the week leading up to it and the week after it, police raids on multiple places related to election fraud.
You also have a law that you cannot sell alcohol before elections.
The day before and on the day of. But that's dealt with as most other laws are dealt with in Bulgaria. For example, I had my prom the day before European elections, and believe me, we were allowed to buy a lot of alcohol. Not in the store, but in the restaurants. So it's essentially little things trying to pretend that they do. But the one thing that impressed me, and we're continuing the changes policy program, is that they actually advocate for the introduction first of postal vote and then of electronic vote to enable people like me who are outside of the country to just vote easier and not travel to Finland.
Do you have anything else to say about the elections?
I'm just hopeful I won't have to make a similar talk in a few months.
Aga aitäh, et kuulesite. Loodan, et teil oli põnev kuulata. Nüüd saate rohkem aimu, mis toimub Bulgaarias, ja uuesti näeme järgmisel nädalal.